the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by the Honorable August Pfluger. He represents the 11th Congressional District of Texas, sits on the Foreign Affairs Committee, Homeland Security Committee, and sits with us today in 1302. This is an alternate room for the House Ag Committee. Good to see you.
Well, Tony, thanks for having me. It's good to see you as well.
And welcome to Congress. You've been here for a few months now. You feel like you've got your sea legs.
Well, you know, I'm still obviously learning, but the one thing that I don't need much help on is the passion for representing agriculture. It's a national security issue. And it's nice to be able to come up here and use the family background, what we've done for generations, and to educate my colleagues on why it's so important.
I would imagine when we go through the list of members, those who have working knowledge of the sheep and goat industry, there's probably not many of you.
I'm guessing that I'm probably the only person in Congress who's actually stomped on wool and mohair as a kid and got a lot of experience. I was actually pretty good at it. Of course, our parents were always kind of looking around saying, all right, now get back to work. But you're right. It's nice to have that experience in that and cattle and a little bit of farming, but mostly in ranching.
When we talk about the livestock, one of the issues maybe we don't hear a lot about here in D.C., but is very important for the producer, predator control. Tell me what's on your radar when we talk about predator control.
It's a huge issue for the ranchers in Texas, you know, specifically West Texas, and as you go south from our district down into, kind of Sutton County and Schleicher County and these areas where a lot of sheep and goats are raised. I mean, San Angelo was the wool capital of the world, and we have a tremendous amount of sheep and goat production. But the biggest threat right now is predator control. $230 million annually is the loss that we're talking about here. Hogs, coyotes, you know, you've got a number of things. And, of course, what we're pushing back against are bad policies that prevent the ranchers from doing what they need to do to protect their flocks. My family, for instance, has dogs that we use. I mean, there's literally sheepdogs that go around with the sheep and goats and are able to help protect them. But there's a number of things you can do, but no one silver bullet. You have to take a layered defense approach to it.
Is it in part when you're here trying to help educate and maybe get past the emotional idea of predator control?
For sure it's education, and I hesitate to say that on the other side of the aisle that we're going to get past the emotional side of this. But it's important for us to be able to set the conditions and stay out of private industry's business when it comes to their ability, you know, to get things done. And that's really the education we need to provide is to take other members of Congress out there in groups to see how hard it is, you know, that life cycle. We're talking about, you know, the over a year-long process for the life cycle of a young lamb or a kid goat. So to protect them once they're born it's incredibly important and difficult.
You talk about the other side of the aisle. Let's talk about a trade agreement that was approved just before you got here, the USMCA. And ironically, it had more support than we've ever seen from the Democratic Party on a trade measure. Is trade still front and center for you?
Absolutely. Sitting on Foreign Affairs, I also sit on the subcommittee that deals with trade, and this is how I can be an advocate, a voice, and an educator on why it's so important for our agricultural trade. I mean, just take U.S.-Mexico-Canada, the agreement that we had. Texas is Mexico's largest trading partner, and a lot of those products come from West Texas, whether it's cotton or beef, sheep and goats, or anything. And so we do need a level playing field, and I think it was nice to see the other side of the aisle come to the table and say, yes, this is something we want, especially through the Rio Grande Valley. They know how important that is for us to be able to export those products. And so what you'll get out of me is somebody who has a passion for agriculture but also understands trade and why it's so important that countries like China and other ones be held accountable for unfair trading practices, which is exactly what President Trump did in these trade agreements that he did over the last 3 or 4 years.
So we're talking about providing opportunities, if you will, for producers to do their job and make a profit, a fair amount for that. But sometimes things just get in the way. How important is a safety net?
Well, it's critical. And I don't have to tell anybody this in West Texas right now, the drought that we've been through. And thank goodness in the last couple of weeks we've gotten some rain. And, you know, that's when you depend on things that are out of our control, like the weather, for your livelihood. And I look at this as a national security issue. We cannot be dependent on other countries for our food source. We cannot be dependent on anybody else. We have the resources in this country, and we need to take it in that perspective, that this is a national security issue. The pandemic taught a lot of us that, and we're going to continue to educate other people who didn't quite get there, potentially on the other side of the aisle, that food doesn't grow on a shelf, and it takes a long time to get there, it takes a lot of persistence. So having a safety net where the farmers and the ranchers, whether it's a livestock indemnity program or WIP Plus, which takes into account natural disasters, which a drought has been authorized for the last couple of years. Those are very critical to help our producers sustain their business and feed this country.
Don't mean to throw you a curveball, but you also have another huge industry in your district as well, the oil and gas industry. And you look just back a year ago where we were with the price of oil and where we even went to negative price of oil. We've seen a rebound. What are you seeing as far as that industry goes? And is the future looking bright or dim right now?
We have seen a rebound. Thankfully, their production numbers are back up. Rig count is back up. Unfortunately for Americans, in large part due to some of the policies that we see coming out of the Biden administration, where there is a full-on assault against the oil and gas industry, we as Americans are going to see higher prices at the pump. Some of these are natural forces, but a lot of these have been are a result of the policies that we've seen. So I look at this the same way I do as agriculture, that this is a national security issue. And you're going to hear me say that a lot, but it is when you're providing affordable, reliable energy, not just to Texans, but also throughout the rest of our country. And in fact, we are now the number one producer in the world, exporting more than we import. And we've lowered emissions. We've done all the right things. And the other side of the aisle is now really bent on cutting our knees out and ending this industry.
No, you have a lot of work to do. Thanks for carving out some time for us. Will you come back and see us?
Tony, absolutely. Thank you. And just like to say, it's a pleasure to represent West Texas and to represent hardworking people who know a thing or two about putting food on the table and putting energy in our homes and our vehicles. So thank you.
He represents the 11th Congressional District of Texas, the Honorable August Pfluger. And this is the Agribusiness Report.